Welcome to Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. Today we shall have a conversation with the Content Forum, or formerly known as CMCF. This is because the Content Forum has successfully registered, or has announced the successful registration of the Content Code 2022, which took effect starting 9th June in this year. First established in 2004, the Content Code is a set of guidelines outlining the best practices and ethical standards for the creation and curation of content, which is aimed at fostering a robust content landscape in Malaysia where the freedom of expression, or so-called freedom of expression, and responsibility can seamlessly coexist. Now, the revamped Content Code 2022, which has received commendations from industry practitioners and representatives of the media and advertising industry as a whole, primarily includes a review of the best standards and practices relating to electronic content, particularly in relation to advertising, as well as the broader implications for various segments of society. It identifies key 8 area focus areas, and I want to explore each and every single one of them. But perhaps it's now important for us to bring in the Content Forum Executive Director and a former colleague of mine and a former alma mater colleague of mine back in UIA, Puan Madiha Mahmud. Madiha, thanks again for taking the time to speak with me today. We want to know a little bit more about the Content Code 2022. After receiving numerous feedback from this exercise, what would be some of the lessons learned following this particular work that you've done?
Sure. I think one of the basic things, one of the key things that we did before embarking on this whole revamp of the Content Code is that we wanted the code to be something made by the people for the people. Very cliche, but that's essentially what we wanted to do. So what we did was, it started out with a draft that the industry players got together, the Content Forum members got together. And as you know, Content Forum members include industry players, civic groups, and everyone. So we came up with a draft. It went through the process of getting the lawyers to look at it. We went through with stakeholders, and then we initiated a nationwide public consultation exercise. And that was where we got most of our learnings, because there was a lot of feedback that we received from members of the public, which we didn't contemplate or we didn't foresee. And I think eventually that did result in a content code that's a lot more dynamic, a lot more progressive, and hopefully future-proof, with input from many areas from the public.
So as alluded to earlier, there are some area of focus that was identified. What would be some of the key areas identified as the key focus areas following this exercise?
The 8 key focus areas, I think we've basically highlighted. We've got upholding the rights of children in advertisements or in advertising. This one, we took 2 angles. It's not just advertisements that are featuring children, but also advertisements targeting children. It's a lot more comprehensive now. We have upheld the rights of persons with disabilities, talking not just about the kind of content that people should avoid when featuring or portraying persons with disabilities, but also ensuring accessibility of content for them as well. Then there's ethical reporting of suicide cases. We addressed abuse of religion in advertisements. We also added a provision prohibiting online abuse and gender-based violence. And other than that, there's addressing false content and its impact in the community. And we have, I think this is the bulk of it. The advertising guidelines was what had the most changes. We had to address influencer marketing, disclosure in certain platforms, and paid spots and sponsored content, things like that as well.
So how do you do this? Because Content Forum isn't a regulator. So how do you impose your will on the market on issues like mental health or paid marketing and the likes?
I think the first thing I need to clarify there is we absolutely have no intention to impose our will on anyone. The Content Forum works on the basis of self-regulation. The one thing we want to do is to have the Content Code being a guide, continue to be a guide for content standards and self-regulation. And what we always strive to do is to advocate for self-regulation. So that means empowering the people to be aware of what the content standards are and what kind of content they should consume or should not consume or choose to consume or not consume. And also to exercise the available tools, reporting content that they believe may not be in compliance of the code, exercising on social media, for example, where we don't have much jurisdiction, we provide awareness on how to use self-regulation tools like, the block, the unfollow, muting, report. So these are the things that we do as well. And for the industry, I think, we are moving towards, or we have been trying to move towards less dependency on state regulation or state legislation for content, because content is very dynamic and it changes very much. So we want industry to realize that to encourage this freedom and independence, they need to be also more transparent and accountable. And that's by exercising self-regulation with the content code. I should probably also note that another thing that we strive to do as well is to empower the consumers. We need them to slowly let go of the old way of thinking that, somebody else or somebody needs to do something about content. If people complain, and people do complain a lot about censorship, about banning and stuff like that, the only way for us to slowly do away with these traditional ways of monitoring and controlling content for people is for us to exercise self-regulation.
Now, we know that empowering consumers is a collective effort. We can't just hive off this particular job to just one party. Do you believe that engagement with other stakeholders is actually crucial in order for you and Content Forum to achieve the nuances spelt out in the content code?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head there. It's all about engaging the right stakeholders, in fact, engaging everyone, because we are not the subject matter experts of everything. So when we talk about, I'll just give you an example of the content code. When we drafted the first revamp to the content code, it never occurred to us to think about, for example, the aspects of mental health when it comes to reporting of suicide cases. That came up during the public consultation and it was raised by experts in the field. So we engaged with them to really fully understand why there needs to be a provision regarding this. And furthermore, when we have issues about religious content, for example, we need to speak to, for example, Jakim, where we have rules on influencers. We are now ensuring that influencers disclose whenever they are paid to provide advertising, for example. We engage with influencers as well. So the bulk of our duty here at the Content Forum is to live up to our name. We need to be a forum that engages with anyone and everyone to make sure that we are always on the ball and that we don't, in the Malay colloquial term, short sendiri buat rules. We need to speak to the people who are actually living those rules, who need to abide by those rules. And only then we can come up with a code that is logical and feasible to be complied with.
Madiha, requiring disclosure of advertisements from influencers and paid for space in news, this is basically right up my alley, I suppose. But do you think that this should be made compulsory or else because we know that people won't volunteer for such disclosures?
Precisely. This is one of the things that we did as well. We did some benchmarking exercises. So we looked at how it's being done in other jurisdictions. And almost everywhere else in the world, there are disclosure guidelines being implemented or imposed. Like, if, for example, in America, there's the FTC guidelines. In UK, India, it's all there. And it all boils down to the basic tenet for advertising. It cannot be misleading. That's very simple. So when we have influencer marketing, where we have news, for example, going into the realm of advertising without disclosing that it's an ad, it may mislead the people out there into thinking that, for example, the influencer, that's an organic post and they're genuinely liking the content when actually they are paid to say that. Or, for example, if they're watching you on the news and then you suddenly segue into selling a product, people might be misled into thinking that product is good enough to make the news when in actuality the brand has paid you to mention them in the news. So it's all about disclosure. It doesn't need to be in your face. In fact, when we spoke to people who would be affected by this, they mentioned they don't want it to look horrible. For example, influencers, they don't want them to have to say this is an ad or something like that. So sometimes it just helps to have hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored. If it's social media, they already have this partnership with brand thing on Instagram and Facebook. And for news, all you've got to do is perhaps put a crawler or a bug or just have something that discloses that this part of the news is paid for or sponsored for.
Okay. Maria, I will take a short break. We are going to continue on this very riveting conversation with Maria Mahmud, the Executive Director of Content Forum, right after these messages. Welcome back to Notepad. I have with me on the line Madiha Mahmud, the Executive Director of Content Forum. As a refresh, could you elaborate on what the content code guidelines are and were, and why was there a need for a nationwide public consultation to be done in order for you to publish the revised version of the Content Code 2022?
The reason why is because I think that's just general good practice if you're doing policy. Policy making, if we leave it just to the people who think they know stuff without actually engaging with the people who know better, it ends up being something that nobody's really invested in, or there might be areas in which there are gaps that you didn't foresee. So we went on with this public consultation because content is a big thing now. We're not just content consumers. All of us are content creators. The minute you put something on social media, you're a content creator. You don't have to be a TikToker to be a content creator. So it's very important for us that everyone in the content ecosystem had a say in the content code. So that's why we did the nationwide public consultation. It was really a very interesting exercise, to tell you the truth. We had a lot of feedback that really opened our eyes into the things which people are actually concerned about, but did not have an avenue to convey their concerns. For example, I personally didn't realize that people were very concerned about influencer marketing. And I think that's because there is an influx of influencers out there who are, rightly so, making money out of advertising and marketing products on social media. But users are really worried about whether it's ethical for them to be doing that without disclosing that they are being, you know, paid to do it. Another area in the public consultation, which took about, I think we had it for 12 weeks, we got quite a lot of feedback, is that areas like I mentioned to you, the ethical reporting of suicide, and a few debates that were also held when we were talking about the definition of children in the content code. I should just let you know that the public consultation wasn't as dry as some people might think. There was a lot of debate going on as well. We had town halls almost every week, at least twice. And people were arguing about certain things that we wanted to put in that we decided not to, for example, and people were arguing about things we should put in that eventually we decided that we had to. So I really think it was an excellent exercise for policy making, because when people are contributing to the policy, they are invested in it and hopefully they will comply with it.
Because of the collation that you guys did, based on the feedback received, what were the most pressing matters or subjects that are not addressed in the previous code that people want to be to be covered in this content code?
Influencer marketing, that's definitely it. I think one of the biggest, actually the bulk of the content code revamp was in the advertising guidelines, because the advertising landscape has changed so much in the past few years. So we've got influencers, we've got social media. So there was a lot of calls for us to try and do something about it. But we also had to balance it out by explaining to everyone that there's only certain things, there are limits to what we can do and limits to what they should want us to do. You don't want us to impose our will, for example, on social media and tell people what they can and cannot do. The best thing we can do is to tell you what the best practices are, what the content standards are, and you exercise your own rights to do it. So, for example, social media, influencer marketing, that's one of the key examples of the thing from the public feedback. Secondly, it was religion in advertising. I think that's pretty unique to Malaysia. It's not something we could benchmark in the global community, because Malaysia seems to have that as a unique problem right now. So people were saying about how certain products and services were being pushed with religious connotations, or in fact, outright religious advertising. So we were tasked to also look at how to address that problem as well. So those are the two main ones that I saw from the public feedback.
Regarding religious content, and because of the fact that it's unique to Malaysia, how does the content code address this?
I'm hoping that it would resolve some of it. At the very least, it creates the awareness that such things are not actually allowed to be done. Sometimes it all boils down to, what's a nicer word for ignorance? I mean, when people don't know that that's something they shouldn't do, then they do it. But once they know, if it's in the code, if we talk about it enough, if they realize the impact of it, then they eventually, hopefully, have the right mind to actually stop doing it. Or at the very least, on the other end, is when people see such ads, see such marketing, knowing fully well that it's something that those people should not be doing, then they exercise their rights to report it or, you know, refuse to engage with it. And then we've got the whole situation where people hopefully stop doing it because they're not getting the kind of impact that they want.
Expanding further on false content, we are seeing a rise in the number of scams and spread of misinformation. And how do you see this as addressing this or help curb this issue further?
Again, it boils down to awareness. What we do at the Content Forum, we also have these things where we call it the Internet Safety Talk. So we sort of expose all the scams out there to members of the public who are interested to hear about it. The more people know the kind of scams that are out there, the better aware of they are and avoid it. Because a lot of situations we have, especially among the older generation, they don't know that these WhatsApp messages purportedly from LHDN or from some other government agency, they have no idea that this is actually a scam because it just never occurs to them or it never reached them. They're not aware of it. So awareness is one thing that we push on for things like this, for scams. What we also do is we work very closely with MCMC and PDRM whenever there are scams being reported to us outside of our jurisdiction, unfortunately, but we do guide people to the right path on where they can report these as well. So yeah, it all boils down again to awareness and empowerment in self-regulation.
What else is being done to emphasize the good content regulation? I think we need to explore that bit a bit more, but I also want to ask you about the new content platforms like NFTs or blockchain or other stuff that is related to that, or social media sites sprouting and gaining traction at a rapid pace. How do you, or how does Content Forum ensure that the content code does not end up being an archaic set of guidelines that was meant for yesterday? And, you know, we want to make sure that the content guideline or content code remains relevant every step of the way.
I believe that, you know, the ever-changing nature of content and technology actually suits very well with the self-regulatory ecosystem and the content code. All the self-regulatory organizations out there are addressing these issues. And because we're a self-regulatory system, adaptability is key. So, for example, I can tell you there are some issues out there which are not being addressed by the content code, but are cropping up right now. And we're looking at it, for example, greenwashing in advertisements. People are talking about how do you regulate NFTs, if that's something that needs to be regulated. So all these topics are being discussed in the self-regulatory, among the self-regulatory organizations. And because the content code is something that we can review and revise at any time without having to go through legislation process of being debated in parliament, the content code is able to adapt to these changes whenever it's necessary. So as long as we remain on the ball, as long as we remain dynamic in our assessment of the content industry and all its multiple platforms, I think we will continue to be relevant.
All right. Okay, Maria, I will go for one short break. For you at joining us for this conversation, do not leave your seats. Do not put down your mobile devices. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. We are with Maria Mahmud, the Executive Director of Content Forum, here talking about the Content Code 2022. We want to learn a little bit more about many of the items inside it, but perhaps we can start off with the a sister organization, I suppose, which handles complaints guidelines by consumers regarding consumer issues, regarding service issues. Is this being done by Content Forum? And if so, how do you make sure that the work that you guys are doing is actually complementary to the content code that you have just published for this year?
Complaints guidelines. You might be referring to the General Consumer Code, perhaps? If so, then yes, that's our sister forum, the Consumer Forum of Malaysia. They handle the consumer issues with regards to all the services in Malaysia. They are revising their code as well, so that might be something you might want to explore with them as well. It's quite interesting.
Okay, knowing that there are two different sets of conversations that needs to be had, there are two different forums. Where do you see this role? Do you feel that we need to segregate or not segregate between consumer forum and content forum, or do you feel that it's better to just lump everything in one because essentially you're still dealing with retail, you're still dealing with consumers? To segregate or not to segregate, Maria, that is the question.
I personally feel that it's better to segregate it this way because the content forum, we focus purely on content and content self-regulation. Our friends at the consumer forum talks about the consumer issues. They've got all the most of the consumer associations in the country part of that forum, so they can hash it out between the industry players. They call it the demand and supply side. So they've got the telcos and broadcasters in there as well with the consumer association. So they can, it's sort of niche, the kind of issues they discuss. And the things that we discussed. We also have the other forums as well. I personally think it's better to keep things segregated so that, you know, you can focus on it in that line.
You know, there are concerns about how my young children are continuously making pop culture references because of their exposure to TikTok and IG Reels, and sometimes they spend hours on it, despite me, you know, curbing or trying to put a stop to their obsession, I suppose, with their devices. But they still have access to it, regardless of how you know, I deal with this thing, right? Because, you know, I remember we spoke about this many months ago, and you said that. And you kind of agreed with me where you said that censorship doesn't really work with children. Conversations do. So yes, I do. You know, really need to talk to my young children about that. My 10-year-old and my 8-year-old, Omar and Alia. There's also that whole teenage daughter of mine, Hannah, which is, you know, basically on and off Instagram depending on her state of mind. Do you think that Content Forum must move rather aggressively on developing the content code in this regard, as they shape our young's worldview, not by those who are physically around them, rather what is fed through them on their devices using the algorithms?
Absolutely. I think that is one of the, in fact, it is one of the concerns that have been raised. I like your example of how your daughter is on Instagram whenever she feels that she's in the mental state of mind to be on Instagram. That's self-regulation, by the way. And we do have a lot of situations where we have dialogues and talks and seminars and workshops with schools, because, like you rightfully say, it's undeniable the younger generation are getting younger and younger in their access to content, to technology, to social media. The worrying thing is when parents, who are actually supposed to still be the guardians of all these things, are not aware of the kind of dangers there are out there as well. So we do engagement with parents as well. We try our very best to promote the fact that each of these social media platforms have age restrictions, but as I can tell, a lot of these age restrictions are ignored. But what we do is we advocate for self-regulation by the parents and by the students, because sometimes they are not aware of how social media can affect them. Unlike your daughter, there are some people who consistently get really negative feedback or negative impact from social media, but can't seem to leave it be. You know, it's sort of addictive in a way. So we do work with mental health professionals to find the right messaging to put out there when we speak to students and when we speak to parents.
Do you think that this is going to be done a lot more? Yeah. Do you think that the Content Forum is going to do more on this soon? Because I think this requires more planning and more thought that needs to be put into it.
I think it takes a lot of commitment from everyone. It's not something that we can work on our own as well. Parents, they need the support. There were a few times the Content Forum hosted dialogues with parents, and the things that we learned from each other about what's going on social media platforms continue to amaze me. There are things that just, you know, it just boggles the mind because you're just not exposed to it. So I think it's a process. I think it is something that we need to encourage more people to talk about as well. topics that are probably taboo or uncomfortable. Parents need to be able to find it within themselves to have these conversations, age appropriate, of course, with their children. And this needs to be encouraged. It's not something that can be changed, overnight, but it's a process, and we need to trust the process. In order to trust the process, we each have to play our own respective roles in that process.
Okay. Maybe we can learn more about what to expect from Content Forum in the near future.
We will continue to engage with everyone out there. We welcome everyone to come either be a member or collaborate with us, come to us with any questions you might have on content or anything related to content, really. What we also will be doing in the next few months is to actually fine-tune some of the guidelines that need fine-tuning. For example, like I mentioned many times in this interview, the influencer guidelines, we received a lot of feedback from influencers who would like us to have a guideline which specifies what they can and cannot do, what kind of laws they should look out for. And I think that's really great that they're asking for this. So we will come up with that as well. And we will engage with them to find out the things that they might need to be spelled out as well. And that's how we aim to continue working here at the Content Forum, continuous engagement and dialogues to make sure that the content code and self-regulation is dynamic in this country.
Perfect. Okay, that was Maria Mahmud of Content Forum. And of course, this has been a delightful conversation. By the way, how does the public access the content code again?
Contentforum.my, that's our website. And if you're on social media, which I bet most people are, our username is @mycontentforum.
Okay, all right, fantastic. If you've missed any part of this interview, head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad there. You can also look for other stuff on the channel or on the station. Just type out Niaga Awani as well as Week Ahead. There are plenty of conversations like this that can be found there. For now, we bid adieu to you at home, as well as thank you to Madiha Mahmud, the Executive Director of Content Forum. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Have a great week ahead.